I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 So our reading is a summary of the book of Ruth in the Hebrew Bible. It's taken and written by J. Smith. So chapter 1, Ruth remains loyal to her mother-in-law Naomi after the death of her husband and in-laws. Naomi decides to return to her home of Bethlehem, or Bethlehem, alone. However, Ruth insists on staying with her and adopting Naomi's God as her own. So Ruth said to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Meron pa yung karugtong, di niyan sinama. Chapter 2, we see Ruth gleaning in the fields, namumulot, gleaning in the fields of Naomi's relative Boaz. Boaz, out of compassion and obedience to the law, allows Ruth to glean, but also leaves grain for her purposely. Chapter 3, Naomi encourages Ruth to seek marriage with Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. Ruth obeys Naomi and asks for her rights, and Boaz agrees, but mentions that he must first be sure that there are no others with first rights. Last chapter, chapter 4. Boaz and Naomi are married, and Ruth conceives a son named Obed, the grandfather of the great King David, in the lineage of Christ, our Messiah. In these human words, God's word is heard. So today is the last Sunday of February. Next week is March 1st. And also today is the last installment of our Feb-Ibig series. Love stories that you never knew. So yung unang love story natin, sino? David and Jonathan. Pangalawa? Sino ang ating love story? Nako, last week. Jesus and Monique. Pinangalanan natin siya last week, 'di ba? Si Monique. Ang kaaway ni Terry, 'di ba? So the second one is Jacob's, the man that Jacob wrestled, who is man yet also God in the story. So today we'll be talking about the story of, or I'll be preaching about the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. So the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz has been, for queer people, a queer story. A queer story. We, for the last five decades of the 50 years, queer people has reread and reinterpreted this story as a queer love story between two women. The vow of Ruth. The vow of Ruth towards Naomi has always been described as one of the greatest vows of love and loyalty, often used and cited in heterosexual weddings. One could say that heterosexual couples for almost 3,000 years have stolen this vow and made the loyalty and love of Ruth towards Naomi totally invisible. So palagi siyang ginagamit sa kasal At baka nga yung traditional vow till ano to? For poorer or richer, for health and sickness and in health, till death do us part, marahil dito hinugot sa vow ni Ruth at Naomi. At sa vow ni Naomi sa vow ni Ruth kay Naomi. So ginagamit sa heterosexual, may kanta pa nga yan eh. May kanta yan, The Song of Ruth. But for so many centuries, they have never mentioned this, or they have not really preached that this is a vow of one woman to another woman. That this was a vow between two women. Yet they always declare that this is the greatest expression of loyalty and love. And so for the last 5 decades, we have reclaimed the vow and we have redeemed the relationship of Naomi and Ruth. Yet perhaps as queer Christians, we also should reclaim and redeem the relationship not only of Ruth and Naomi, but also of Boaz, the man who redeemed the inheritance, the life, and the honor of both Naomi and Ruth. Perhaps there is more to the story than just about two women. And the preaching today is one of our boldest preaching. One of the preachings that even progressive people have a challenge of preaching because not so many people, even among the LGBT community, will understand or will have difficulty in accepting. Although Pastor Kakay have already preached this way back, around 2014 or 2015. So one of the arguments against same-sex marriage is always an appeal towards biblical and traditional marriage. So palagi nilang sinasabi, we have to maintain the biblical marriage or the traditional biblical marriage. Conservatives are so quick to cite or reference Adam and Eve, even making a joke that it was not Adam and Steve. Biblical marriage, according to conservatives, is between one man and one woman, as referenced by Adam and Eve, and saying that that is what, yun yung nagko-constitute ng biblical marriage. But lest we forget, for inasmuch as the Bible is a diverse set of books, poems, and letters, so is the different relationships and marriages in the Bible, in Scripture. Majority of the relationships are actually polygamous. Majority of the relationships, stories, relationships in the Bible are polygamous. And even open relationships. Sarah gave her slave to her husband Abraham. So, binigay ni Sarah ang kanyang babaeng slave, si Hagar ba yun? Tama, si Hagar, kay Abraham. Nag-sex si Abraham at si Hagar so that Abraham may have a child with her. At nung pinuntahan nga natin ng story ni Jacob, Jacob had 2 wives. Sino yung wives niya? Leah and Rachel, or Rachel in English, had 2 wives. And in our story, pag binasa niyo yung story ni Ruth, nagbigay ng blessing si Boaz kay Ruth bago sila mag-asawa. Na sana, pagpalain ka ni Yahweh, na ang iyong tahanan ay maging tulad ng tahanan ni Rachel at ni Leah that brought up the house of Israel. And in the book of Chronicles, the first book of Chronicles, we read the 7 wives, official wives of King David, namely Ahinom of Jezreel, Abigail of Carmel, Maacha, the daughter of King Tamai of Geshur, Hagith, Abital, Eglah, and Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. At yung si Bathsheba, yung ninakaw niyang asawa dun sa officer, isa sa mga military officers niya. At yung military officer niya, pinalagay niya dun sa harapan ng gera para mamatay. At pag namatay, makukuha niya na yung asawa ng officer na yon. Isa sa mga serious sins ni David na nagalit ang Diyos. And then, so in 1 Chronicles, meron siyang pitong asawa. But in the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, meron siyang, yung asawa, una niyang asawa ay si Michal, daughter ni King Saul. But we also know of the person, the greatest love of David, which is Jonathan, which he described as someone who surpassed the love of women. Jonathan, David's most beloved. That the 7 or 8 women loved David. The 7 or 8 women loved David. But the only time that David said that he loved someone was Jonathan. And that the love of Jonathan is surpassing the love of women. Although I won't deny that there seems to be a preference for monogamy in Scripture. Yes, mayroong certain verses that and stories that say that my preference for monogamy. But it does not mean to say that polygamy was outlawed. No, it was not outlawed. Actually, there are Jewish regulations in Exodus and Deuteronomy on how to deal with and manage a family that had more than one wife, and had to deal also with inheritance of children from different wives or different mothers. We also have the levirate law. Ano yung levirate law? Last week na-discuss din. What was the levirate law? Levirate law about marriages. Pasa-pasa. Diba? Dalawang beses minention sa Gospels. Yung nung tinanong si Jesus, paano pag may babae, inasawa niya yung 5 magkakapatid, at lahat sila namatay yung babae, sino magiging asawa niya sa langit? Parang ganyan. Diba? Tinanong siya ng mga Sadducees. So, levirate law. We also know about the levirate law among ancient peoples and the Jewish people, where the childless widow has the right to claim marriage of the next brother, so that the dead brother may have a child in his name. No, may ganyan. And we also know about the prophet Amos. The prophet Amos was asked by God to marry a sex worker and have a children by her. You may now ask, am I trying to negate and debunk monogamy? And that all of us should have a polyamorous relationship? Of course not. Of course not. What I'm trying to say, and what we have always been saying in MCC, that there is diversity in love. Love is expressed in diverse ways among individuals, peoples, and cultures. Before the advent of Christianity in the Philippines, in most tribes in the Philippines, there was some form of equality among the sexes. Virginity was not an issue or a standard in Philippine tribes. Wives may divorce their husbands. Certainly, even perspectives and regulations about Christian marriages have changed over the last 2,000 years. No? Even Christian marriage for the last 2,000 years has changed over time. It is not the same kind of marriage before as to now. Priest, Roman Catholic priest, was once were able to have wives. They had wives. The first pope, Peter, had a wife. Paano natin alam? Kasi may story dun sa Gospels na sinasabing pinagaling ni Jesus yung mother-in-law ni St. Peter. So may biyenan si St. Peter, may asawa at marahil may anak. What we are trying to say is that there have always been a diversity of relationships in the Bible and in human history. Some of those relationships are mutually loving, but most of them were not. Isa pa yon. Biblical marriages were mostly not loving relationships. Most, not all. There are loving relationships, but most of stories of relationships in Bible and many ancient other texts are not loving or mutually consensual. Why? Because they're patriarchal. Because marriages before are about economy. Women are property. The property of the father who will be sold to the husband and will become the property of the husband. And her value is based on producing children, particularly a firstborn man or firstborn boy. The story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz is a story of loyalty, commitment, sacrifice, particularly that of Ruth. That's why it was named Ruth. Boaz, a man of honor and wealth among his people, showed unusual kindness for Ruth and Naomi by marrying Ruth, a Moabite, a widowed woman considered unclean and an enemy of the Israelite people. Taking Ruth to be his wife was at first looked upon dishonorably and a foolish move. Boaz did not even have a direct claim to Naomi or Ruth, yet he went out of his way to claim them from the direct kin who has the first right of redemption. And in the end, Ruth was married to Boaz. They bore a son. But their son, which by every ancient custom should either be the son of Boaz or the son of Ruth's first husband, yung anak ni Ruth at ni Boaz dapat either anak siya ni Boaz or anak siya ni nung namatay na asawa, because the custom is so that the name of the dead husband may go on. Ang eternal life sa ancient Jewish people is not actually going to heaven. Eternal life for them is the continuation of the name and the blood. But by some weird decision, the son of Ruth and Boaz was declared and was celebrated by the people of Bethlehem as the son of Naomi. Yun yung ending sa Book of Ruth. Reverend Elder Mona West says that the townspeople recognized the value of Ruth and Naomi's relationship. Then even if Naomi was not her biological, even if Naomi was not the biological mother of the child, it is the relationship of these two women that ultimately produced the Redeemer child, Obed, grandfather of David. And Reverend Mona West, one of our distinguished biblical scholars in MCC, in her commentary on the Book of Ruth, tells us that the story of Ruth is not so much different for our time today. And I will read directly from her work sa kanyang Queer Bible Commentary. So sabi niya, I quote, "All of these actions indicate that Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz's decision to create their own family and define their own understanding of kinship and responsibility to one another within the context of inheritance and kinship laws of ancient Israel. This action similar to the ways in which queer people today create families. A bisexual man and two lesbians live together with their biological child. A gay man is a sperm donor for a lesbian couple and is part of the parenting of their child. Three gay men live together as lovers and family for 20 years. A lesbian mother and her lover live two doors down from her lesbian daughter and her lover. So, the story of Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi is not so much different from us today. And that we have a reference from ancient times about a queer poly family. And not just about queer people. Not just about queer people or queer families. How many families and couples today who live a life of love, loyalty, tender kindness, despite not following notions prescribed by conservative Christians? Single mothers, single fathers, a family with lesbian mothers or gay dads, a family where children are raised by grandparents or by aunts, couples adopting or couples who have decided not to have children at all, even if they could. Again, lest I be mistaken and misquoted or misunderstood, I am not advocating that we all should be polyamorous or subscribe to open relationship. I am not advocating for that. This does not also say that we may do whatever we want without regard or consideration to the relationships and communities that we have. Ako mismo, I for one, is in a monogamous close relationship with Lawrence. Many LGBTQ+ persons and heterosexual couples maintain and remain in a loving and meaningful, joy-filled, close monogamous relationships. But what we are saying today is that there are also LGBTQ and straight people alike who have various kinds of relationships. Some of them are open, some of them are poly, who are as equally meaningful, loving, and joy-filled. And whether we agree or disagree with such relationships between mutually consenting adults, it is absolutely none of our business. Should we find within MCC or other places such relationships, the last thing that we should do is to condemn or to judge other people's lives who have different forms of relationships or different ways of loving. But again, and for the third time, does this mean that anything goes? Kanya-kanya na, bahala na? Come what may, que sera sera, whatever you want or desire? Of course not. Of course not. What is the ethical principle of Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi? What is found in the relationship of our ancient queer ancestors? First and foremost, the relationship has to be mutually consensual among adults. And what is consent? It means that in the relationship, everything is clear and everything is agreed upon. No one is forced and coerced into anything in the formation of the relationship and in the duration of the relationship. It is an informed and mutually consensual relationship among adults. It is not manipulative. It is not abusive. It is not oppressive. It is mutually giving, loyal, and mutually loving. It is honest and clear, even in the most difficult of issues. The most difficult of issues. There must be openness, understanding, and forgiveness. This is what makes a relationship, any relationship, even non-romantic relationship. And some of the difficult issues in relationships are, I've encountered this couple a few years back. So they are a monogamous couple, a gay couple. And they contacted me for, a friend of mine contacted me if I can counsel this couple. They were having problems, and they were like 7 years already, 7 years together. Now, the issue is one of them wants to open the relationship, sexually speaking. The other one is no, ayaw niya. Or nahihirapan siya. Ganyan. And I will not comment so much on what they should do because that is not my place to do so. But some of the lessons I learned in that conversation is, number one, you have to be honest even in the most difficult of issues in the relationship. And one of the most difficult issues in relationship is to tell your partner, I want to sleep with another, but I still love you. I still love you. You're the love of my life. You have to be honest with that. Cheating is not sleeping with another person, technically. Cheating is when you do so without discussing that with your partner. Because if your agreement is to be in a monogamous relationship, then you cannot sleep around without discussing it in your relationship. And then we also, the other lesson I learned in that conversation is, we think that it is difficult. We think that the pressure is only with the person who wants to be open. The pressure is also on the person who doesn't want to make it open. Kasi iniisip niya, napipressure siya na, mahal ko to, 7 years na kami in the relationship. Pag hindi ko pinayagan, gagawin rin naman niya. So, merong pressure din dun sa other person. Should I just allow it? Or should I just keep on what I believe to be my own appreciation of the relationship? What makes a relationship is loyalty, mutual consent, mutual loving, openness, understanding, and forgiveness. At sabi nga ng ang partner ko naman, ang appreciation niya sa relationship namin, your part, pag nag-uusap kami niyan, so one of his lessons about our relationship is to understand your partner even in the most difficult, even when something is hindi mo na kayang intindihin, iintindihin mo pa rin. Relationships are about love, about loyalty, about mutual understanding and forgiveness. And that our relationships are diverse. But there is a huge difference between a challenging and difficult relationship and a relationship that is harmful, manipulative, and hurtfully abusive. So I was listening earlier to the and also reading the blog and podcast of Queer Theology. Meron, hanapin nyo lang sa Google, there is Queer Theology resources. And I was reading and listening to their podcast and blog about polyamory. And one of their arguments, they say, is that Jesus is polyamorous. Ah, blasphemy! Jesus is polyamorous. What did they try to say? Did they mean to say that Jesus had multiple sexual lovers? No. No, because that is not something that you read in the Bible. That's not what they meant. But one has to think about the Jesus who we claim to be loves everyone. After all, the word polyamory, it is a modern word, is derived from two Greek words, poly, which means many, and amor, which means love, many loves. And Paul in his letters, the Apostle Paul in his letters as well, and subsequent theologians over the ages have always described the relationship between Christ and the church in the context of marriage. The church is the bride of Christ. All of us Christians are married to Christ by virtue of our baptism. We are all loved and beloved by Christ, individually and collectively. We are the many loves of Jesus. So actually, conservative Christians, when they proclaim Jesus is, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and all of them, 3,000 worshiping together, they're actually proclaiming the polyamorous relationship that they have with Jesus Christ. We are the many loves of Jesus. And queer people of God, in whatever relationship you find yourself, queer people of God, in whatever relationship you find yourself, now or in the future, or however you wish to form a relationship, our call and our challenge is to always be motivated by the kind of relationship that our queer ancestors have done. The relationship of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, of loyalty, of commitment, of loving kindness, of sacrifice, of redemption, and a relationship that is always life-nurturing and life-giving. And therefore, in your relationships, romantic or otherwise, may you all do so in the name of the queer poly ancestors of Jesus, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Yeah, Jesus was descended from Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Amen.